Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Of things. When did the relationship start to go south? Really, what were some of the motivating factors behind moving on from Mike Vrabel? We will get into that. But yesterday, the college football world, the football world as a whole, was kind of taken by storm with the news that Nick Saban has announced his retirement. And this morning, early this morning, the news came out that the New England Patriots are parting ways with Bill Belichick. Now, Bill Belichick has a press conference now. Robert Kraft will be speaking as well. There are obvious ties between Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots, so we'll be keeping an eye and an ear on that press conference. If there's anything that comes out relating to Mike Vrabel that would be relevant to you, we will bring that to you as soon as possible. Willie's in a suit today. Bill Belichick's in a suit today. Everybody's got their Thursday best on. Willie DeMays, how we doing?
Belichick didn't wear the hoodie to the press
conference. I didn't even know he owned a tie, really. I knew he probably owned a sport coat because everybody should have every grown man, if you can, should have a sport coat.
Sport coat with sleeves, though?
Yeah, sport coat with sleeves and a tie. Man. You could tell he's not comfortable wearing a suit and tie. You could tell how the tie is kind of crooked and his shirt is kind of crooked a little bit. He's like, man, get me out of this thing as quickly as possible. But the end of an era, not just in the NFL, but also in the college football world with Nick Saban choosing to retire. It's ironic that one gets fired and the other retires. Now, will Bill Belichick coach again? We don't know. We assume that he will. But, you know, I don't think it's hard-pressed to believe that we will ever see a run like the one that the New England Patriots had throughout that tenure, his 24 years there. I'm not going to say it's never going to happen, but it's going to be a very long time, you know, because people get impatient, fan bases get impatient, and if you don't win right away, then they won't turn over very quickly. And, you know, that's just the way of the world now. But, you know, New England stayed patient with him. He hit lightning in the bottle with Tom Brady, and off you go. And then on the other side, Nick Saban chooses to retire. I think, you know, if you wanted to be real with yourself, you probably saw this coming. The minute he started doing things outside of Alabama, meaning outside of the football confines of Alabama, you knew it was when he got on the McAfee show and all this other stuff.
When he started smiling.
Yeah, he's always inside, he's been a guy that you see his personality. Yeah. But on the outside, you know, people think he's rugged and rigid and all this other stuff. But the minute he started going outside the confines of the Alabama world and starting ingratiating himself with the country, and showing his personality, I think that's when you knew it might be coming to an end. And I think he enjoyed that. I really do believe he enjoyed that. And maybe he will segue into, you know, doing that. But one thing I caution people, he's not a caricature. He's not going to be this guy that Corso was on. Corso's been on what? What is it, Game Day?
College Game Day.
And people say, well, he may, you know, replace Corso. Yeah, but not in that same fashion, because he's not that type of, you're not going to make, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to use him as a joke or fun. And Corso did a wonderful job. And I know toward the latter end of his career, even now, he's become more of that, you know, one segment guy. But before that, he was intricate in what they were doing on Game Day. But Saban, he may segue into that and may love it. It just seemed like he had fun, you know. He enjoyed being on a Pat McAfee show. He was allowed to allow his personality to sort of come out, and he got comfortable with it, I believe. And that may have been, along with the NIL and all this other stuff, that may have been a thing for him. You know, maybe I need to segue out of this, you know, and this is the right time. So, you know, kudos to him, and he's been a tremendous coach. I had the pleasure of being coached by him for 2 years at Michigan State. So his greatness will forever, you know, be there in college football lore and history.
I just think about the era. You know, think about the
just maybe this century, mm-hmm. basically, is what it covers. Nick Saban just starting to get established, you know, as a first-rate coach and then growing from there. But if you look at the last 25 years, those two are the measuring stick of greatness, mm-hmm. right, in college and pro football. It's really not even debatable. It's like they're so far ahead of the field that it's not even close. That's what I think historically, when we look back in another 25 years, another 50 years, I still think it's going to be tough to top what those two guys did in this period of time that we're talking about. And my first thought, this is my question to you, D-Maze, because you know him better than most people around here. Do you think he looked around and said, the world's changing here? This is not a bad time to get off the ride. He's had a year or two of this NIL madness, the transfer portal madness. You put the two of them together, and it's double madness. Like, mm-hmm. it's like maybe more than double. You put them together, it's like more than the sum of the two parts. Mm-hmm. And you look at where it's going. You got all this geographic nonsense mm-hmm. of college football now. Where is it going to be in the next 10 years? It's going to be a different game. Do you think this is maybe a time where you just said, you know what? It's time to get off the ride. I don't want to deal with this stuff.
I think he was good with the transfer portal. I think he was that you you got to give kids opportunities. If they're not playing at your school, if they're not happy, okay, if you want to go somewhere else, you know, you're able to do that. The transfer portal was always there. It was just a little bit more difficult to transfer to different schools. You had to sit out a whole year and all this other stuff. So it was still there, but it was a little bit difficult. But then once they sort of moved those guardrails where guys and girls could transfer, I don't think he was so much bent out of shape about that, because it's just the way it is. I think it became the NIL stuff. You know, how do you coach a guy that's 17 years old and he's making seven figures? How do you coach that guy?
Or if he's not making seven figures, he's thinking around going, I may not be playing here, but somebody else is going to give me seven figures.
Yeah, but
figures.
How do you coach that guy if
how do you,
you making you want seven figures, or you making somebody giving you seven figures to come to my team? How do you coach that guy? There has to be a method to coaching those guys. And it's not just one. Those guys are coming more frequently now where they're getting these, you know, lucrative deals in college. And that's great. But I think his thing was there's no guardrails. It's just the wild, wild west. I'm not going to continue to go down that path, because it doesn't seem like college football is going to straighten this thing out. It's going to get worse and worse. And if that's the case, I might as well either retire or go to the pros. Well, the pros, at least they respect me, I respect them, and there's a different dynamic between the head coach and a pro athlete. When you got a college coach and these athletes, and they're getting paid six and seven figures, how do you coach that?
I think it's something that a lot of coaches are probably wrestling with, but there are probably a lot of coaches that aren't at the stage
exactly
that Nick Saban is in.
And they
at
can't
72,
walk away.
Where he would say, you know, I can walk away mm-hmm. if I want. Who knows? Does he want to coach somewhere else? Probably not in college. Mm-hmm. Does he want to take one more crack at the pros? I don't know. Pete Carroll just got fired at 72. Mm-hmm. He's the oldest one. But I don't think that the way the formula works right now matches up with his principles.
He's an old school coach.
He's an old school coach that has done a great job evolving
adapting.
And adapting with the times. And mm-hmm. he can still win, but I just don't think he's buying in to the direction it's going. And I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. I think there's a ton of coaches that are sitting there going, I got to adapt to this world. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I want. I'll give you an example from my era. My college coach, Eddie Fogler, two-time coach of the year nationally, once at Vanderbilt, once at South Carolina. But the shoe company thing, the AAU, it was changing the formula of how you go about recruiting. And I don't want to speak for him, but he definitely didn't like that part of it nearly like he did when he was coming up as an assistant coach for Dean Smith at North Carolina, where there was still always games being played, right? There's always been that kind of game. But there was still family that was making this decision. The kid was making the decision, surrounded by his high school coach and his family. It was evolving away from that. It was, what shoe company does your team wear? Mm-hmm. what AAU team does the guy play for? All of these games that have only evolved, and now it's just complete chaos with college basketball's maybe being even worsely affected than college football. So it's changed, and I don't blame some coaches. Jay Wright's another one that I think sat there at Villanova and said, you know what? I love the formula that I've had here, but it's going to be hard to keep replicating this the way the game is going, so I'm getting off the ride.
And I think it's also important to remember, you know, and D-Mace, of course, you know Nick Saban better than any of us. Nick Saban's been a head coach in college football for nearly 30 years.
Yeah.
He's 72 years old. What more can he accomplish? His legacy is set in stone. And even though he's stepping away from college football, his legacy still exists. You look at across college football, some of the best coaches in the sport are from the Nick Saban coaching tree. So now he's afforded the opportunity to be able to enjoy time with his family, maybe something that he hasn't been able to do in the past. But just the news of Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, you know, whenever we talk about winning championships, there are two people that come to mind that make that look easy. Winning championships is the hardest thing to do in sports. Bill Belichick and Nick Saban made winning championships look easy. They set the standard, whether it was in the NFL with the New England Patriots, whether it's in college football with Nick Saban. Every single coach that goes throughout those ranks will forever be compared to those two of what they could do. You know, yeah, this is a good coach. You won a Super Bowl, but Bill won more. Yeah, that's a good coach. Won a few national championships. Nick Saban won 7. So it is a very wild and surreal feeling that the entirety of my lifetime, Bill Belichick and Nick Saban nearly have been coaching. I don't know a football world without those two. So it is seismic shifts. And I think that the NFL and college football both will now be living in this era of this time that's marked as ANS or ABB. After Nick Saban, after Bill Belichick, because those two really were bigger than the sport, that they felt so immortal, that they felt, you know, so synonymous with the game of football, more synonymous with the game of football than any other person is in their profession, it seems, with Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. So, and of course, Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
I don't want that the news of Pete Carroll being let go in Seattle to be overshadowed by those two. You know, Pete Carroll was able to do something that Nick Saban wasn't able to do. It's not easy to have success at both levels.
Mm-hmm.
That Pete Carroll won a national championship at USC, went to the NFL, and won a Super Bowl.
Should have won two.
We've seen a lot of coaches, you know, try and fail at one level or another. He was able to do something that's really difficult. So those three leaving the game of football, it's a new era. And it's wild. And it is surreal to see.
Well, Bill ain't gone yet. Well, Bill is, we don't know.
And I wonder what Pete Carroll wants to do.
That's a fair point. Nick Saban is retiring. Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick have not. I don't know if Pete wants to coach.
Yeah.
Bill, I think, probably will coach moving forward. But Diane Orsini was on with Robbie and Rexford yesterday. She didn't mention any program by name or franchise by name, of course. But she said there were some franchises across the NFL that weren't sold on moving on from their coach. But when they heard the news that Mike Vrabel was let go in Tennessee, maybe they fast-forwarded their processes a little bit. We're not going to know. They're not going to tell us.
No.
I do wonder if New England is one of those franchises that maybe decided, hey, it's time to let go of Bill because Mike's on the market.
I would say that the writing was on the wall mid-season from Bill Belichick. So I don't know. I've always thought that going way, way back. Now, what's interesting to me is, have there been a couple right at the end of the season that fall into the category that Diana is talking about? That, well, you know, we could throw our hat in the ring for Mike Vrabel if that's what you're looking for. Mike Vrabel is going to be a hot free agent. I don't think there's any way around that. And I think Amy Adams knew it when she felt the need to say, yeah, we did consider trading him, but it was too complicated. I think she's acknowledging that he's an asset and it's going to be easy for him to get another opportunity. That's not why. Ultimately, she had to be able to live with that if that's part of her decision. Good coaches do get fired.
Yeah, it happens all the time. It's what do they do at their next stop. Now, you know, wherever Mike goes, and he may have success, he may not. But, you know, you just caution Titans fans. Look at your team. Concentrate on your team. Don't. You know, because we did that with A.J. Brown. Every time A.J. Brown had a good game, it was like, oh, look at what we could have had. Look at that. It's no. Concentrate on your team. He's doing what he's doing over in Philly. We knew that A.J. was a hell of an athlete, a hell of a player, a hell of a person. But it just didn't work out here for whatever reason. And, you know, it's going to be the same way with Mike. You know, he may go somewhere else, and, you know, he may start off like he did here, getting the team to a playoffs, or he may have to go through the struggles of every first-year coach sometimes trying to rebuild a roster. But what they do have in New England, whoever chooses to go there, whether it's Mike or anyone there, they have a defense. Now they just have to build on their offense. And, you know, is he capable of wherever he goes? Because it seemed like he wanted a little bit more power here. And Miss Amy was like, nah, you know, I'm not going to give that to you. Y'all need to work together. I'm not going to give you more power than say, the GM. Mm-hmm. Y'all work together and build this team. And it just seems like he wanted a little, based upon what we've read, based upon the reports that have come out, even the reports of yesterday. And maybe he took advantage of that. People don't realize that. Maybe he took advantage of her knowing that she wanted him, like, that's my guy. And sometimes you can take advantage of that. Like, I can do whatever I want because I know that person wants me. The head person wants me, so I can walk around here, say what I want to say, do what I want to do, go where I want to go, New England, and say what I want to say in New England because she wants me and she's the owner. You can't take advantage of that. And it seems maybe, just maybe, he took advantage of it and she didn't like it.
Do you think he ends up in New England? I mean, the path is clear now. I mean, all these rumblings that we're hearing, hey, he'd be the home run hire. Hey, that's a guy they'd really.
Wouldn't it be funny if he doesn't get the job?
And is that really what he wants?
Yeah.
Is that a best, is do you that the best
follow
situation
the guy?
For him?
Do you want to follow the guy?
Do you want to follow the guy and knowing that they've got a lot to fix? I think. I mean, I don't look at their roster and say they're a player or two away. And there's always the quarterback roulette. You got to find the guy. It's pretty clear that Mac Jones isn't the guy.
And it's tough.
Point.
And we were talking about guys. It's tough to be the guy that comes after the guy.
Yeah.
And right.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel will be the guy that comes after the guy.
And he
Bill
knows that.
Belichick. And it takes a confident son of a gun, borderline arrogant, to follow the guy. I think that might fit. If we want to put our tinfoil hats on, Nick, our producer Nick Frazier, had a little bit of Instagram breaking news.
Yeah, you could call it breaking news.
I use the term breaking news very, very,
Caroline,
very
I'm
lightly.
Jim Vrabel, Mike's wife, mm-hmm. I think she changed her profile picture to Mike Vrabel in his New England Patriots
red coat.
Yeah. So
read
that for what
into
you want.
That what you will.
Everybody about to start going crazy now.
But I will say.
It's like Ryan Tannehill on the boat.
I wouldn't say it's breaking news. It's slight news. Or would you call it breaking news?
We're going to call
it breaking
news.
Okay.
We're going to do like CNN. Anything that comes across is breaking news, even though it's not.
This Justin from Instagram. It does feel like the most obvious fit, doesn't it? That we've heard so many reports, whether it's Ben Volen in the Boston Globe saying that Robert Kraft's home run hire would be Mike Vrabel, the Greg Bedard report of how much they wanted Mike Vrabel. Now, I know Gerard Mayo it kind of feels like he's the one that's been groomed and shaped to take over the New England job, but how much of that changes when Mike Vrabel is available? How much does Mike Vrabel want to go back to New England? The expectations are incredibly high in New England, and you're not working with a whole lot in New England. You don't have a quarterback. You don't have players around the quarterback, nor defensively do you really have any sort of juggernauts or difference makers. But it's New England. It's where Mike Vrabel was. And if there is... I've talked about this with the Alabama job. There's not a perfect fit out there. There's not. There frankly is not a perfect fit. When you follow Bill Belichick, I think Mike Vrabel feels like as perfect of a fit as any of them. That he knows the culture in New England. Mm-hmm. He is beloved in New England. That kind of feels like step one whenever you're a coach is win over the fan base. Mm-hmm. Well, Mike Vrabel's already done that. He's won Super Bowls in New England. So I do feel like it feels pretty much as good as done, just based off of my feeling and my opinion and everything that we've heard coming out that's led up to this. I have been asked very interesting questions, though. Mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel to Alabama.
No.
If
no
he wants
way,
control,
no,
you would get no,
no
more
way.
Control than you would in a college coaching job.
I heard him pretty adamantly scorn at the football world of college.
Yeah,
like that long, which I felt like was pretty unfiltered open discussion with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. He when they threw the Ohio State thing up there, almost jokingly, he was like, "I am not getting into that."
That's a different world. Yeah. That is a
especially
totally
what we just
world.
Talked about with Saban. Exactly. I mean, it's you got to play games.
You got to play
that
the
go
game.
Way way yes. beyond coaching your team.
Yeah,
and maybe he
I don't think he wants
do
any part of that. He doesn't strike me as a guy that's wired that way. Just like Saban's not.
No,
and I think there are a lot of coaches that if you can help it, you don't want to get into that part of the game. It's not what you sign up for.
You'd be signing up for a lot more work in college than you are in the NFL.
And some people, you have to be. It has to be in you to survive the college world, because I'm sure coaching college is much different than coaching in the pros. There are a lot more things. You got to walk. You ain't got to walk into nobody's living rooms in the pros. You don't. They come to you. You know, whether it's free agents or not, you take them out to dinner. You wine and dine them. You take them to the facility. You set them down in the office. That's about it.
I'm not stroking the egos of 16-year-olds.
But in college, you got to go to their families, their mamas, the daddies sitting in the front room talking to you. Maybe the brothers and the sisters and the uncles, everybody. Then you got to go to the high school. Then you got to come back. It's just a whole bunch of stuff that you have. Then you got to make sure you have a blank check sitting in your pocket.
You got to have a salary cap person.
Exactly.
And you're supposed to not really be working directly with it. That's the dumb thing about it.
So
it's like,
it's
the collective. It's not us making decisions.
Yeah. All right. Sure.
But either way, it's a lot of work. It's a financial.
I can't see Vrabel doing that.
I mean, hours and hours of planning out. Okay, what's this guy getting? You get a 100-man roster. 100 people.
And it's hard. It's going to be hard. I think it would be harder winning at Alabama than it would be in New England. I just think it would be because of all of the things that are going on with the transfer portal, NIL, all this other stuff.
You heard whoever it here first. The SEC is harder than the NFL.
Yeah, it's whoever comes after Nick Saban, boy, oh boy, you better have things set in line.
Yeah.
Now, set in place, because people are going to expect championships the first year. That's what, and why would you expect them to think any less? We've won championships, or we've been in the positions to win championships for 17 years, at least 15 years out of the 17.
The expectations aren't
exactly
going anywhere. No,
so if you come in as
a
new coach, we want you to win a championship. If not this year, damn sure next year.
Yeah, the expectations aren't going anywhere at Alabama. It's absolutely a difficult undertaking. All right, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So, of course, the news of the week, Mike Vrabel has been fired with the Tennessee Titans. But since then, we've heard from Rand Carthon in his press conference. Amy Adams Strunk sat down with Mike Keith. I didn't feel like I got a lot of clarity about what really went wrong behind the scenes. How did we get to this point? In November, Diana Russini was reporting that Titans higher-ups thought that they had the right person in place for future success. Month and a half later, he's fired? How did we get there? We could have gotten a little bit of clarity, and we'll break all of that down coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Who are you going to get to do what Vrabel does? And to me, that's your, if you're Rand Carthon and you really understand your job, you can't. So don't tell me everything was perfect. Don't tell me there was harmony, because there couldn't have been.
All right, that was Michael Lombardi on the GM Shuffle podcast. That's kind of what I thought. You know, when Rand Carthon said in his press conference, every decision we made was unanimous. That's not possible. That is not possible. Not every decision you can make was totally unanimous. But we have gotten some clarity, perhaps, on what we haven't seen, what went on behind the scenes. How did we go from around Thanksgiving, Diana Russini reporting that a Titans higher-up felt confident in Mike Vrabel moving forward, and then a month and a half, he's fired? What happened there? But that was Michael Lombardi on the GM Shuffle podcast. And Willie Gibbies, this was something that you both brought to my attention of, look, some interesting insight here. So just kind of some of your takeaways before we play a few clips from Michael Lombardi.
I just think, And we said this when this story came out about, you know, them being happy with Vrabel. Yeah, they're happy now, but things can change as the season goes. Yeah, I like this particular thing now, but maybe 2 months from now I don't like it. And maybe I want to change and do something different or have something different. And you can do that. You know, that's your right as an owner. You can do that. One, I thought Lombardi just so pro Vrabel. It was nauseating. It was, and I told y'all, it was just hard to listen to because it was like, y'all didn't even try to give the alternative to what was going on. It was just, y'all were Vrabel, 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 Vrabel. Oh, I'm going to give you some more Vrabel, Vrabel. And it was, you weren't looking at, I don't think they were looking at the big picture. So in regards to that, and they made some key points, I get it, but it was just, it was like as if, and tell me if y'all feel this way, it was as if they were saying there's no other coach out there that can coach this team. That's the way Lombardi made it seem. There's no other coach out there. He's the best thing since sliced bread. There's no other coach that can coach this team. And if you just listen to it, you would think like, damn, they're giving away Nick Saban or Bill Belichick. And going in another direction. Like, this kid's won 20 championships the way they're talking. Yes. He's had multiple All-Pros and Pro Bowlers and Hall of Famers on his resume the way Lombardi was talking. I'm like, are they talking about the same guy that coached here that, you know, the last two seasons were horrible? Are we talking about that coach? Or are we talking about somebody else? But they did make some points, some key points in there. I get it. But if you just read everything that's coming out, as I said yesterday, she got tired of the things that were being said. And maybe, just maybe, that New England thing pissed her off enough. Like, we ain't have, you want to go down to your other, up to your other team and talk bad about us? Like, come on, you can't do that. We're not having it. And then subsequently after that, more stuff started to trickle out from the facility. Again, I don't want things coming out of my building about my head coach and GM and what's going on. And it's all pro to head coach, and it's negative toward everybody else. She just got tired of it, and she had a right to be tired of it.
This is what bothered me about it, because I think you combine what you just said, Derek, that Vrabel is the all-knowing. I love the greatest thing since sliced bread. I still don't know where that saying
that
came
from.
Yeah. I'd love to go. Okay.
Like, how great is sliced bread, really?
I guess back then it was great.
What kind of bread are we talking? Rye bread? Sourdough bread?
If we go white bread and do French toast, it's pretty good. I'm just saying.
But you have this, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's clearly coming from Vrabel's camp. Lombardi goes back with Belichick. He goes back with Vrabel. But at the same time, he weaves this web of, hey, I don't know anything about Rand Carthon. Hey, I don't know. I'm not saying he wasn't qualified, but clearly implying that he's questioning his qualifications. Rand Carthon is not some unknown guy. Mm-hmm. His dad, Maurice Carthon, is a Belichick Parcells guy that played for years in the league. Rand Carthon grew up in that world. He's been at three different successful franchises and worked his way up to this position. And we act like he's some guy that nobody's ever heard of.
And that's what that's
and he
what
gets
irks
he
me.
he is couched, and I'm not and it's not just Lombardi. It's a lot of people. And the telling thing from Diana and Joe's article in the Athletic is, mm-hmm, basically from the start, Vrabel said, I don't think this guy's ready for the job. Now, that might have been an honest assessment from Vrabel at the start, but that is being taken carte blanche around the league and has everybody questioning Rand as if he's got no credentials at all. And I just
Vrabel, you wouldn't qualify for a head coaching job, the crap you did at Houston.
But okay, and let me give you an example, too. Lombardi in this, and it's funny because he couches Ryan Cowden as Vrabel's guy, mm-hmm, right? That's who Vrabel was suggesting. And he can't even get his name right. Cowling. He calls him Cowling like four different times. Which tells you, who in the heck knows anything about Ryan Cowden? What's he done compared to Carthon? It's not anything different, mm-hmm, right? At least Rand Carthon said, yeah, I remember his dad. He was a great player. He's, you know, Rand played in the league. He's been three different places. Mm-hmm. The 49ers are probably the most successful organization going right now. He's got credentials. So I'm not sitting here telling you Rand is going to be a great GM and they're going to have all kinds of success. I'm just saying he's walking into this with a narrative, mm-hmm, that's giving him a strike against him, and people are pushing this narrative, and it's coming from Vrabel's people, right? And so that's unfair to Rand Carthon. And I'm just going to say it right off the bat. Give the guy a chance. I'm not sitting here telling you he's going to
be wonderful.
I don't
know what they're going to be
moving. I don't know
forward.
If he's done a good job or not. It's all twisted around. Rand Carthon has nobody in the media that's singing his tune. He has no narrative being pushed. Vrabel does. Mm-hmm. Vrabel's got a lot of people pushing his story big time. Doesn't mean it's the wrong story. They could be dead on right. Maybe Rand has no idea what he's doing. But it is coming all from Vrabel's people. Make that clear. That's how you play the media game. Rand probably needs to get into that game, honestly. He needs to go out and get his message out there himself. He admitted it in the press conference. I probably need to connect with the fans a little bit more. He also needs to play the media game.
And maybe
how it works.
That's why you were not upset, but you were just like, man, you got to give us more in regards to what's the message,
right.
what's moving
and
forward.
And also, he's also being used against me. For him to come out and say, we agreed on everything.
It clearly wasn't true.
Yeah, he's trying not to make waves, exactly. And he's trying to get through the press conference. I understand why he did it, but people are taking that statement and saying, how could that possibly be? And they're right. There's no way that everything was hunky-dory and everything when you go 6-11. It's
right.
Obvious.
And not everyone.
But who does the blame fall on with the Vrabel people? It's all, well, Rand was unqualified. I'm not saying he wasn't qualified. Or he's not Vrabel's guy. I mean, it's just all of these things that make Rand out to be some unknown guy that nobody had ever heard of that had no business getting the job. And I don't see that when I look at his credentials and I look at his background. And it's ironic, they both come from the Bill Parcells, yeah. Bill Belichick tree.
Before you say that, what were Mike Vrabel's qualifications to be a head coach before he got that job? I'm not saying Vrabel turned out to be a good coach, and I think he is a good coach. But when you say, well, this person's not qualified, and he sort of came up through the ranks, did all the things that other GMs do, and you say, well, he's not qualified, what made you qualify to be a head coach? People got to answer that question to me.
And to clarify, I did not say he was.
No,
not.
I know that you were speaking in general terms.
And you bring up, you know, yesterday whenever I wanted to hear the vision from Rand, because I do think looking at Rand's history and comparing his resume to some other GMs across the league, he is qualified. He does have the resume. Does that mean that Rand Carthon is going to bring a Super Bowl to Nashville? I don't know. Does that mean that he's going to crash and burn in Nashville? I don't know. I hope not. I hope that Rand is successful. But for the unknown side of things, sure, on the inside and in the football world, mm-hmm. I'm sure Rand Carthon was very much so unknown to Titans fans. They didn't know who Rand Carthon was. You don't know who, you know, the director of personnel is for teams across the league. And so that's what I wanted. I wanted Rand to take the opportunity that he had to build trust in this Titans fan base. And how do you do that? You assure them that everything's going to be okay and I have got it handled. So that kind of ties it back to his press conference earlier this week. But, you know, you talk about the narratives. Mm-hmm. One narrative that we had, you know, over the past few weeks and months is that Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel did not get along. Of all of the reports that we've gotten, I think we've kind of squashed that narrative. Whether it was the Athletic article from Diana and Joe, and we'll get deeper into that, or kind of what Michael Lombardi pointed out, it wasn't an issue. It wasn't a relationship problem with Rand and Mike. It was more of a relationship problem with Mike and Amy. But Michael Lombardi kind of shed a little bit of light on that in the podcast. This was Michael Lombardi on Rand and Mike's relationship.
It's been a good run here with Mike Vrabel. Like I said, multiple division titles. There were the one seed a few years ago there. He's a really good coach, and everybody has been tripping over themselves saying, wow, like this guy's going to be one of the top coaches. What do you think Amy Adams Strunk thinks right now, 24 hours later, when everyone is singing the praises of Mike Vrabel, and that's the guy who she just fired?
Well, she's thinking that I didn't have harmony within my organization. I had conflict, and I don't like conflict. I want everybody to get along. I want a collaborative effort. I want everybody to sing Kumbaya. And she naively, like a lot of people, me included, think when I was very young in my career, I thought you could find another good coach. I thought they were out there. And what you find is, as you go through, there's very few leaders. There's very few men that have the capacity to lead and to think on a high level. Very few. There's very few coaches who see the game from 35,000 feet. The Belichicks, the Parcells, the Mike Tomlins, those guys are hard to find, very hard to find. And even when you think you have one, there's a pretty good chance you don't, considering the fact that of the 32 positions in the National Football League, seven of them are open every year. So the track record of firing a coach, like, okay, if you're playing poker and you know that one in seven jobs are going to open up and you have a really good hand, wouldn't you hold on to your hand?
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, in decision-making, wouldn't you hold on to your hand? Wouldn't you say, okay, Ran, Mike, we got to make this work. Mike, you're going to have to mentor Ran more. Ran, you're going to have to understand Mike more. I don't know how it was all going in the building. I don't know that. I just know there was a natural conflict because, as I've experienced in my career, when you're not on the same page, when you're not aligned with everybody, you can say you're on the same page, which is what Carthon's saying. He's saying in his release, Mike and I never had an issue. You can say that, but there's a reason he's gone. And it's because the organization, as the owner says, wasn't aligned. So again, we're back to what the difference between alignment and being on the same page. And all this right. is what the owner doesn't understand. She's listening to people in the league office. She's listening to people outside our building. This is who you should hire. This is what you should do.
That's coming from one camp. And let's just put yourself in Rand Carthon's shoes, mm-hmm. okay? You get a sense, and this is coming from the Athletic article, that Mike Vrabel wants more say. They fire John Robinson. I think in the article it says, I think I've earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And look, guy had a lot of credentials. He was winning. I think Mike Vrabel is an outstanding coach. If they decided to bring him back, as I've been saying, if he sold me on, yeah, I'm going through this rebuilding process, face the reality, this team was going to be in a rebuilding process this year, and it was known for a year, then okay, I agree with a lot of what Lombardi is saying on he's a leader. He is a special leader of men, I think that's got a lot going for him. I don't disagree with that, but put yourself in Rand Carthon's shoes. You come in, you get a sense that Vrabel wants more say. You get a sense, I'm sure, Rand Carthon realized that Vrabel's first choice was another person. And it goes as far in that article to suggest that Vrabel said, okay, let's bring Ran in, mm-hmm. but let's make him the number two guy
yeah.
that promotes Ran, and I'll have my guy be the number one. Ran's not ready for the job. So you get this job knowing that the coach from day one doesn't think you're ready for the job. So he's supposed to go in and start doing everything his way and try to exert his power? No, what would you do? You'd say, Coach, what do you need? You're the man. You tell me what kind of players you want. I'll try to get those players. That's what he did, I believe. So, but he's starting off with a strike against him, right? And you've got this perception now that's being, well, he's not Vrabel's guy. Amy brought him to the table. The league brought him to the – I mean, just all of these things that I don't know if Rand Carthon is going to be a great GM or not. Mm-hmm. But just put yourself in his shoes – and then I think it explains a lot of how he went about it this year.
And another thing there, too, is I hear the bloviating about how great of a coach Mike Vrabel is. And it's not just Michael Lombardi. It is so many people that I've seen on Twitter or heard on national news outlets. I think Mike Vrabel is a good coach. But to act like there's no way you could replace Mike Vrabel – save it. You won six of your last 24 games, okay? You know, like, there are a lot of mistakes that Mike Vrabel made, a lot of missteps that Mike Vrabel made along the way. It does not have the skins on the wall nor the credentials to warrant that kind of support. But let's continue this conversation coming up next with Michael Lombardi said, and we'll continue to get into Joe and Diana's Athletic article. We're broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, tomorrow is your chance to participate in Predators Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow at 8:45 a.m. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard and sold. Breaking down kind of the latest of what we've heard from the national media, where we didn't get a lot of clarity, maybe locally, about what went on behind the scenes of what led to Mike Vrabel's firing. But we've heard a lot, maybe on the national level. We heard Mike Lombardi in the GM Shuffle podcast. But I got to give Joe Rexroad a whole ton of credit, because his article in The Athletic and his collaboration with Diana Russini is incredibly insightful and very eye-opening. Some of it made me, my jaw drop, quite frankly. And there was one aspect of that that we were kind of discussing at the break, and we'll break down all of these bullet points, kind of our takeaways of what Joe Rexroad and Diana Russini have reported in their Athletic article. One that I wanted to run past you first. In this little tidbit in Joe and Diana's article, they're talking about how while Mike Vrabel was not told that the next general manager was going to be Ryan Cowden, he wanted it to be Ryan Cowden. So it's kind of been out there, is Mike Vrabel was told it was going to be Ryan Cowden, and then it was kind of, you know, the wool was pulled behind his eyes, that it was just Rand Carthon. Mike Vrabel wanted it to be Cowden. But this little tidbit here. Cowden ran the entire 2023 draft board, but was fired immediately after the draft. He has consistently drawn general manager interest from other NFL teams and was close to getting the Steelers GM job last year. He ran the draft. He ran the draft board.
So according to the report. Now,
according to the report.
Who do you think supplied that information to Diana and Joe? Somebody from Vrabel's camp, I'm going to say. I would love to hear Rand Carthon on the record, off the record, saying, oh, so what was your – he was just sitting there, I guess, even though he ran all the press conference. He didn't do anything with the draft?
Well, I'm not saying that he didn't do anything with the draft, but this is just what
the
report
says. I'm just saying this
says.
Is a report, but where is it coming from? It's coming from Vrabel's people. I would. I don't know if the team would say, oh, yeah, yeah, he ran the board. And then they let him go right after the draft. He ran the draft board, but then we don't want him after that. That doesn't make any sense. What the heck was that? What's that all about? If you ran the draft board, wouldn't you want to keep him?
Yeah, a lot of it's kind of, you know, convoluted. And it's just so much stuff that's going on here, which leads me back to setting things back in order. This happens when things are out of order. All of these, well, he said this, she said that. No, my guy was in charge of this. Now, I didn't want him as the guy. I thought this guy was going to be my guy. All of this mess that is coming out, she wanted to set it all back in order. There's too much stuff coming out, and it's not positive for this franchise moving forward. Again, I go back to what I said. It's like she wanted her franchise back. He possibly could have, you know, used the relationship that he built with Miss Amy. He took advantage of it. Mm-hmm. I believe he did. He took advantage of that relationship, and she came to a point where it's like enough is enough. Things are out of order. It's not about the stuff on the football field. You know, we can get another coach. There's no Bill Belichick or Nick Saban's running around here, but we can get a coach that can win. And maybe possibly what we want to do is win a Super Bowl. We can get that coach. We may get it on the first run. We may get it on the second run. Mm-hmm. But we're going to get – he's not the end-all, be-all. And I think, like you said, Willie, around his camp, the narrative is he's the end-all, be-all. And you can't get any better if you move away from him. Well, she's saying, like, listen, all this stuff that is coming out, you're not debunking it, Vrabel. When you come back from New England, all this stuff is being said. You're not squashing it. Okay, then other stuff starts to happen. Leaks start to happen that is more pro you than pro the organization. There's a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Again, you haven't won a Super Bowl here. You haven't even been to a Super Bowl here. Yes, you are a good coach. But you, like you said, one player is not bigger than the organization. Why is one coach bigger than an organization? Especially when you ain't won nothing. When you haven't won anything in regards to Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. You can win conference. You can win your division. You didn't even win your conference. You won your division because why? Let's be honest about it. The division was horrible. It was horrid. It got better this year, and you see what happened. They didn't win it the last two seasons. So to me.
The Titans were horrible.
The Titans were horrible too. But to me, you didn't have, at least from my opinion, you are a good coach, but there are a bunch of good coaches in the NFL, and you didn't do enough to warrant maybe some of these things that were going on, these leaks that were going on. You're not that good. I need to set my franchise back in order, and we need to move forward.
Here's another question I have about the draft question, because I think it's a very intriguing. It's one of the most intriguing things that they uncovered that I don't think any of us have heard before.
Yeah.
That Ryan Cowden was still there, mm-hmm. and still influencing the draft. When you say run the draft board. But let's
so
put
did
it,
he pick the players? Well, what does run the draft mean?
This is what I don't know. Board. Run the draft board. Yeah. I don't know what that means exactly. But let's also put it in perspective. Rand Carthon was hired on January 18th. Okay, so by the time he gets in there, comes in, the college football season has already mm-hmm. been played. All of the scouts are there. They've done their evaluation. Now you're going into the combine. So he's getting in, you know, midstream. And as he said a number of times at the time and even at the press conference the other day, he didn't have the authority to come in and clean house and bring – and that wouldn't make any sense anyway. So he's trying to blend in as the bus is already moving full speed down the road. So but the implication in there is that, well, Rand didn't even run the draft. He didn't even know what he was doing. Well – there's reasons why, but it's all designed to make Vrabel look really good. Hey, my guy ran the draft and look at the draft. It's pretty good. And hey, I don't really know if Rand had anything to do with the draft. You see what I'm saying? There's a narrative being pushed, and it's coming from one side of the table. It's not the team side.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the team's real happy about that.
I would not think that the team is very happy about that they sided with Rand Carthon, that they decided to hold on to Rand Carthon, continue with him as the general manager, and then this is put out that Ryan Cowden ran the draft board. Now, I don't know if it's a narrative. I don't know if it's the truth. I don't know how much involvement Rand Carthon had in the board. I don't know. I don't know if I can step away from that and say, well, Rand Carthon had nothing to do with the Titans draft. I also can't say that if this is the truth, that Rand Carthon had everything to do with the draft. It kind of makes that transitional period between when Rand Carthon came in, before he got hired, draft prep, Ryan Cowden still here after he left, makes that all very fuzzy. But it does kind of makes me raise an eyebrow about Rand's involvement at the beginning of kind of the 2023 year draft moving forward. Elliot Friedman will join us coming up next a little bit earlier today. We'll get into Luis Saros. What's the concern level there? We'll chat with Elliot Friedman about that coming up next. Caroline Billy D. Mays, 1025-1063 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.